My name is Kirsty Rayner, and I am obsessed with all things mindset, meditation, business, and helping you to overcome those mindset blocks and magical breakthroughs in every season of life. I'm a multiple business owner, accredited transformational and mindset coach, Vedic meditation teacher, a yogi with 10 years marketing experience on paper, but informally, I'm obsessed with growth, a pale rosé wine lover, chocoholic, and your new bestie. We get into all the secrets and hacks to get you in an abundant mindset. So go and grab a coffee, get cozy, get comfortable. This is the Mindset and Me podcast. So welcome to the podcast, Louisa. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Kirsty?
I'm good. I'm so glad you are here. This has been months.
Plan for so much. This was such a long time, and we finally make it. I'm so glad. And it's my first podcast, so I'm very honored to be here today.
Oh my God, we're honored to have you. So I guess for anyone listening who hasn't come across you or your amazing brand, I always like to go like back to the beginning. Like, what's your story to kind of define as to where you've got to today?
So I'm Louisa. I'm the founder of Matcha Union. Matcha Union is a kind of health and wellness brand, obviously focusing on our main product, matcha. So we have a kind of a collection of different matcha powders, matcha chocolates, accessories, and like so much more to come. And I kind of dived into it just straight after university because I was always interested in business. So I studied business management and had like a branding class. And there I had to design a concept for a London lunch market. So in the back of my mind, I always had this affinity for nutrition. So I was kind of like developing this concept. And then after, you know, finishing my studies, I moved to Shanghai and I came to realize that concept. So I was kind of pushed into that pathway of entrepreneurship by having my own little cafe in Shanghai. And I was never actually drinking coffee. So I was naturally kind of serving matcha every day. And I guess like that was kind of the route where everything started with Matcha Union as well, because then when I moved back, I was like, what do I do? I was kind of thinking, do I do the same thing here? But I wanted kind of something more, which has more reach than like a physical cafe. And I was kind of browsing and exploring, and step by step, it kind of led me to matcha, because first I was thinking to franchise another tea brand. But then over time, I was missing the element of doing the whole branding myself. So creating something myself again. And then COVID happened. So naturally, kind of the conversations with that brand anyways went quiet, and I had so much time. So literally I started drawing the first like logos, and step by step I was tasting samples, and it was like April 2020. And then in December 2020, I launched with the first product. So, and since then it's been kind of like a very quick and fast journey, because online business after all is very different to having like the physical store, but it's very exciting here. In short, that was my story.
Oh my goodness. In short, yeah. But I remember this when we spoke originally and you were telling me about Shanghai. Like, talk to us more about that. Like, what was it like to be able to experience? Like, what was the pace? Because obviously your brand is... It encompasses like wellness and slowing down and embodiment. And I can imagine it's like quite a different pace to what we had there.
It is a different pace. But, you know, to be honest, I think that kind of enabled me to do what I did there and kind of so quickly, like the passion of the people there, it just allows you to create something with so much enthusiasm. And I think that kind of set my mindset actually straight to continue also on the pathway of entrepreneurship, because you have, on one hand, you have this all this creativity and flexibility as well, the elements of like having your own business. And I think China was like just this kind of platform where I really learned to do it super quick and super fast. So for me, it was an amazing experience, especially because I was literally like in the cold water, because everything was, you know, I was not fluent in the language. It was completely new. I was not even like before, I didn't have any experience in F&B. So it was a cold plunge, but you know, if you fall once, you need to get out of it. So you need to be quick to get out of it. So it was really like an amazing experience for me to experience all this in another culture. And now moving back kind of closer to home, because I'm from Berlin, Germany originally, it felt a bit more easy, you know, like I kind of knew and like the structure of how to do it again. So that's why I really like looking back at this period, I appreciate this like opportunity that I was given there so much.
And you're so passionate about it as well, which is what I totally love. And also you've had like huge growth in like less than 2 years. So I guess I'm always wanting, like, yeah, it's like a lot. I guess I'm always wanting to know about your mindset around that. So obviously from launching and like creating the brand, we get like really excited and it's like this amazing, like you bring out this new thing and then it's like maintaining it and the rush for it and you having to adapt and change. So how has that been for you?
For me, I'm kind of like a very plan person. So I always have the plan. Okay. And even like for my personality wise, I think I'm always like kind of in competition with myself also to prove myself that I can do it. So even mm-hmm. when there was like low moments, and there were many for sure, especially with COVID, it was so new. And then like figuring out the online business, I think what's just kept me going is like, I can do it, because I really realized like, you can always like talk to yourself that you cannot do it, or like you find a reason why you feel bad, or why do you feel motivated? And then you kind of look at competitors and you say, oh, they're already doing this. But in the end, you don't really know what's going on their side either, right? And the only thing you can tell yourself is like, why are you talking bad to yourself? You can only try to do the best, you know? And I feel like when you try to do your best, at some point, you will succeed. And that's why I think like, even like, because you were mentioning like kind of advice, like for like new entrepreneurs, how to start a business. It's don't start a business just because you want to start a business. I think you need to really find something that you're passionate about, because I feel like the passion, that's what kind of keeps you going in these hard moments. Because once when you have these troubles, it's like, if I really don't like my product, if I wouldn't drink matcha like every day, I probably, you know, like I would not continue. It would be hard for me even to kind of like push further, but I think that's kind of a very important element, and I think that helped me also along the way, that I always just kept going, you know, being persistent, keeping going, keeping on your plan and so on. Yeah, keep following your plan.
So for you, would you say, to kind of summarize, your work and your personal life, they kind of merge because you're super passionate about it anyway?
I think they do merge, because firstly, the reason why also I chose to do Matcha Union as an online business primarily is because as you notice when scheduling this podcast, I'm always here and there, mostly also because of my relationship, and we are always here and there. And the Shopify with whom I run the business allows you really to be anywhere, and with the fulfillment centers, I can cater any market at any kind of time, and customer service and everything you can do remotely. So in that way, because I drink also matcha every day, I can incorporate like content creation in my daily life as well. And I had a couple of interns, and I was trying to outsource this as well, but I always feel like it's not the same. And I think like at one point, maybe I find this like person that really like fits inside the company long term and like kind of merges with and lives the Matcha Union vibe also on social media. But I feel like when you do it yourself, it's something different, and I feel also the audience can feel it, because everybody can only yourself you can communicate your story in a way that it's written, you know what I mean? So in that way, I guess, yeah, Matcha Union is that's why I think like Matcha Union is not just about that element of matcha, because that's what I had in mind when I created the brand, is like you and me, like, you know, this kind of idea of having a coffee with somebody. It's like we have a moment to share. We like share experiences. We talk about life. It's these moments that unite us, and Matcha Union, that's why the second part of the word, like of the brand name, becomes so much more apparent. And also in like kind of what I think we try to communicate on social media, because it's that kind of like connection element that I wanted to kind of build with this community.
I was saying before we started recording as well, your content's amazing, and you can really see like Louise's personality through it, like the things that she creates and the matcha chocolate and like all of these different things, and I'm like, I never would have thought of doing that, and you kindly like sent me some, and it's like, it's honestly, that's the only matcha I have now though, because like, I go to so many places, like if I get one in a cafe out and it's so bitter,
I'm glad.
Yeah, it can be so bitter, or they've not mixed it properly, and I'm like, no,
I know. That's the problem with matcha.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even just about the quality. In a lot of places, you just don't really know how to prepare it. It's like this golden rule of never using boiling water, for example, which is so simple, but not so many people know about it. And then you kind of tend to burn the tea, and then you store it in like glass containers because it looks nice and green, but actually all the matcha gets oxidized from the air exposure. So you don't have the benefits, and you also lose the color. So there's so many elements to it, which kind of makes a good matcha. And unfortunately, I feel like the knowledge, it's still like so in the beginning, also especially here in UK. That a lot of people have this perception as matcha is not taste that it doesn't taste good. So we are here to change that, because obviously it also comes associated with so many benefits aside from that. And that was kind of the beginning of Matcha Union, of course.
It's an amazing story. So for anyone who's not a matcha lover, you know, that's okay. We're going to convert you during this podcast. tell us like the benefits of matcha, because I mean, I know some, but there are so many on there.
So there are really a lot. So basically, just there's from gut health to brain health to just overall like body health. Matcha is super high in antioxidants. Like it's even 10 times higher than matcha than normal green tea. And the reason why is because you ingest the green tea leaf. So actually, to give you like a little comparison, matcha has 1,384 antioxidants per gram. If you compare that to broccoli, dark chocolate and white blueberries combined, they have more than all of them combined per gram. So broccoli has only 23 antioxidants per gram. So if you compare that, it's like a huge difference. So these antioxidants are 60% catechins, and they actually, it's like small particles antioxidants, which are the most powerful antioxidants that you can find. And they are good, they're anti-inflammatory, they promote like cell renewal, digestions, and so many like kind of like small kind of metabolic things in the body that you kind of feel better, like promoting the gut health or general health, focus, clarity, and so on. And aside from that, there is the amino acid, which is called L-theanine. So this is also a very special part of matcha, because it basically allows you to have energy but also be focused. And it's used sometimes, for example, when you drink a coffee, you feel like a kind of like a buzz, but then you kind of feel jittery, you kind of have a crash after. But this theanine, it kind of, first of all, it binds to the caffeine, so it mediates your caffeine intake. So it kind of, instead of just lasting you like 1 to 2 hours, you actually have energy for 4 to 6 hours. And then on top of that, it allows you to focus, and it also stimulates the alpha brain waves, which is associated with happiness, like happiness chemicals. So overall, this just like clear focus, mental clarity, alertness, and energy on top. Yeah, there's so much.
there's so much. I think as well, I mean, this, I'm going to sound so basic, but because it's also green, you feel like you're drinking something that's really good for you. I do anyway.
So yeah, the green element is from the chlorophyll, which it's the green pigment, and it also, it's just very good for you. And because you kind of grind it into powder, and actually the youngest leaves, so the deeper and brighter the color, the baby leaves have the highest levels of chlorophyll. So it's always important to look for a bright colored matcha, because that kind of tells you when it was harvested and how it was harvested, and also obviously the nutrients inside your matcha.
That's such a good tip. I didn't know that. Yeah, because actually I've seen so many dark green matchas all over, like in coffee shops, everywhere. Yeah. So that's such a good tip. Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah. Always look for the deep green, vibrant green color. The moment it kind of turns palish, yellowish, you can be sure that it's either expired, because even if you would place our matcha, which is deep, vibrant green, it's open, I assure you. Maybe you can cut this. I just have a nice Snickers.
Yeah.
But it's very bright color. Even if you would put this one outside in the light for a couple of months, it would also step by step deteriorate and become pale. But sometimes when you go to coffee shops, you see that it's already kind of like pale, so I'd rather not drink it, because you probably don't get the same benefits.
That's so interesting. Yeah. So for those who are matcha lovers, how do you prepare the perfect matcha drink? Because I make a matcha every day and I'm like, now I'm worried that am I doing it wrong?
So there's different, you know, it's very custom, I would say, to your, like, how do you like to enjoy your matcha? But I think like the rule of thumb is to use 1.5 to 1 teaspoon. Me personally, I recommend 1.5 gram, which is exactly the scoop that we also sell on our website. It's like, it has between like basically 1.5 teaspoon has 45 milligrams of caffeine, and one full teaspoon has 70 milligrams. So it also kind of depends on how sensitive you are to caffeine and how much of a boost you want. And that one I would then mix quarter of cup, like up to 75 milliliters of warm water, which is like maximum 80 degrees. I would whisk that with a matcha whisk because that ensures the best mix of water, air, and matcha powder. It's not necessarily just about mixing it, but it's also this like oxygenation of the matcha, which kind of creates this kind of smooth and frothy powder. And then I would, me personally, I like to drink it with milk. So I like, lately I discovered a nice almond oat milk, which doesn't have any additives. Sometimes I do my own. That is my current favorite one. I drink it over ice still, even now it's get colder, but I like to have it still ice because I feel like the sweetness of the tea comes out nicely when it's iced. And I just fill up the cup depending on how big the cup is. But technically you could say one half of a cup of milk you would add to that mix. So you kind of arrive at a proper serving. But yeah, let's say you want to have a ceremonial matcha, which is kind of the traditional way to enjoy matcha tea. You would just, instead of milk, you would add more water, warm water. And then obviously you can find, if you want a stronger one, you can add a little bit more matcha powder, more water, less milk. So there's like doses, what kind of milk you're using. It's very, very custom. But me personally, also, I like to add some collagen powder because I feel like then you get all the benefits from the matcha and you support the tissue growth. Also, like because from the age of 25, you use like 1% of collagen a year. So it's nice to supplement from that age. Now I'm 28. So I started doing that and I do feel a difference. And together with the matcha, it just gives you this glow, you know, from the inside. And
So obviously you've created like amazing success in less than 2 years. It really, really is phenomenal. But there's obviously been, you talked about COVID and difficulties you've run into. And I know right now we are living in a cost of living crisis. You know, there's a lot up in the air for a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs and self-employed people. So what do you do to manage when you run into difficult times within your business? Maybe any tips or any advice that you can share?
I think like I said before, to kind of have like the roadmap planned, and even if it gets hard, to don't stop. Because I feel like a lot of people just, when they get motivated, they stop and they think maybe I should do something else. And I've been at these points as well, like maybe I should just get a normal job. Maybe it's easier, you know, like maybe it's more safe. But then I think these are exactly the turning points where you need to try to do more. You need to try to push yourself to kind of bring your business forward. And sometimes you see, like, out of these slumps, you kind of also see opportunities. Like with COVID, like people becoming more health conscious, and then obviously everything went for delivery. And so there's always, like, for every business, I think, even if there's a slump, I mean, obviously in some categories it would kind of like not apply at all, but in the health and wellness industry especially, which comes much more apparent and growing in the last few years, I think you kind of like find your niche and kind of focus on certain niches and try to kind of grow there instead of like trying to, oh, it's not working there, but maybe you're just doing it wrong. You know, maybe you're just, your approach is wrong, because very rarely it's like, if you have a great product, it will work somehow. You just need to find a way to market it. So sometimes like looking outside the box, it may help you to new ways. Like for example, me, actually, I grew probably like maybe the direct DTC, I didn't grow as like mostly in UK, which I'm primarily based in. But then, for example, B2B, I grew much more outside UK because it was much more easier for me to make the connections there, probably because also I'm German and my network, I guess, is more in Europe than in UK. So then now I have a lot of growth also in Europe. So it's sometimes it's like, you know, looking outside the box, even borders, whatever it may be, may be helpful. Yeah.
I love that. It's really interesting. Definitely. I think with product, it's a really, really hard business to get into. It's completely different to service. And yeah, it can sometimes feel like you're like banging your head against the wall. You know, you're doing things and you might have a surge of sales and then it's quiet and then you worry and you get like all of these feelings. So I think that's really lovely advice. That, and also there are seasons, right, that you go through. You know, some products are just busier at different times of the year. That's just how it is. Yeah,
for sure.
Totally.
Yeah, you need to find your way.
Absolutely. And I think you've really, really carved that out. I'm obviously going to share all of your details kind of in the show notes so people can connect with you on Instagram. And I really recommend checking out Matcha Union because you share so many tutorials and like things that I'd never seen to use matcha for. And actually, it's just really like helpful for anyone on their matcha journey.
I love that. Yeah, there's so much. And actually, interestingly, because I did a little questionnaire for the audience the other week, and I was asking more about like what they want to see. And me personally, you know, I get very excited about the benefits of matcha. Like, it's kind of like, oh, I should drink more matcha because I just found out it's good for hair growth and like stuff like that. Like, I love it. And then actually I did this this questionnaire, and I found out only one or two people like literally voted for matcha facts, and the others, they all wanted to know only behind the scenes how to grow the business and recipes. So now I'm actually going to also focus a little bit more on the how-to side, and I start recording like more like a kind of episodes about how to grow the business, because I think it's kind of like also gives you a little bit more insight of what I do day to day, you know. And it kind of allows us to grow together as well, maybe.
I feel like with a small business as well, I don't know, I want to know who the founder is. Like, I want to support them, I want to get to know their story. I think there's so much power in that, and you'll probably inspire like someone who may never even connect with you. You may not ever know, but you're inspiring them from afar.
I hope so. I mean, in the end, when I look at some brands on Instagram, some of them I discovered just because of the founders. And it's in that way, social media is nice because you can have a voice, you can communicate whatever you're passionate about. And this allows you to reach new people. And this is what I love so much about this like online business as well, where you have so much more reach, you know, than like just like being kind of fixed in one place. But yeah, it comes with it's positive and negative, like, you know, like supply chain management over from Japan to here and so on. It brings a lot of challenges as well, but in the end I still love like the journey that I'm on, and it's exciting.
I'm so pleased. It's so good to hear. So what's coming up for you? Like, what can we get the scoop on? What's happening?
So there's a whole new category in the planning, but I cannot share yet because I don't want to say it. It's a lot of research and development that's going in there. But aside from that, I probably a little bit more pop-ups, a little bit more kind of like connections with new partnerships and cafes, retailers and so on. So you can get Matcha Union in more places. And yeah, it's actually a big part of the business that I enjoy so much, to see like our partner cafes to grow and to grow with them. Like, it's really cool because then we always do like custom plans for them, like how to implement it in the menu. And then it's kind of like breathes my creative side, like what I had in Shanghai, you know, like of menu creation and so on. And this is great, like to kind of like grow together. Yeah, this is the new things that are coming up as much as I can share.
Oh, it sounds amazing. Yeah, I'll be ready when it's announced.
Okay. It's something very different.
But also, okay. But also, you're really multifaceted. You know, you have all this expertise from like menu creation, obviously when you were out in Shanghai, you know, running an online business, navigating COVID, like behind the scenes, recipes, all of it. So we don't want to pigeonhole ourselves. It's actually really nice that you're kind of showing more of that, and we're ready for it. We're here. We want to see it.
Yes, and always I love to hear also from you guys what you love. Like, it always gives me so much insights. Like, when I do this question, it's interesting actually what you want to see. So I'm trying always to my best to kind of deliver to whatever is actually attractive to
me. No, you do. Honestly, you do it so well. So we always like to end the podcast by asking, what is one mindset hack that you live by? So when you have in one of those days when, as a founder, kind of everything's going wrong or you're struggling, what is the one mindset tool that you come back to?
I think I touched on it earlier a little bit, but I was thinking about, I think staying positive, adapting a positive mindset, and however you do it, to kind of be in tune with yourself and also kind of listening to your body. Like, for me, what I discovered, like before, I used to literally just rush into work, and I had kind of this burnout time, and I realized I need to kind of to change something. And now I, every day when I wake up, I do this 15 minutes, just a stretch yoga flow. And it really helps me kind of to tune in with myself, like kind of to set myself for the day. And even if I like spend my whole day in front of the laptop, I feel like stretched, I feel more relaxed, like I kind of I feel settled and grounded. And I think whether it's like a positive affirmation that kind of like sets your mind for the day, or whether it's the yoga flow, or whether it's like your skincare self routine, it's whether it's a matcha ritual, it's there's so many elements that kind of like set that help me to keep positive and like kind of be ready for challenges. Because in the end, you every challenge is something that you can tackle, whether it's hard or not. Like you cannot like it's the way you think about it. It's like, oh, I accept that challenge, or you think like, oh, it's too hard for me, or I give up. You know, so it's more. It's more how you approach this. And actually, I even learned it with customer service. Like the other day when I was like replying to messages, it's like when somebody, like instead of saying sorry, like your delivery is late or whatever, you thank the person for their patience. So it's like already like it's a thank, you're grateful for someone's patience, that you don't put that negative connotation of saying sorry in the customer service either. So it's, I think these little things of like how you speak to yourself, how you surround yourself even with positive people who make you feel good. It's like it just overall helps you to stay positive and succeed.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. I love that. Thank you so much for being here. As I said earlier, I'll share all of your details in the show notes, and we're all going to connect with you. And honestly, really go and support Louisa, because she's created an amazing brand, and it's a great story, and it's another female founder. So thank you so much.
There are so many of us now. I think it's amazing, actually. Like I feel like, especially even over COVID, I think so many women, amazing women have started businesses and came to the rise, and I just love it. It's really cool.
It's awesome.
It makes me proud.
Oh, you should be.
Just like you.
Stop. Yeah. Stop. Thank you so much.
All together.
Take care.
Yeah, so really, it's been an honor.
Thank you so much for listening. Honestly, I enjoyed that so much. I really, really just love those conversations that feel so real and so raw. So thank you so much, Louisa. You know what part of the podcast it is? It's time to get really comfortable and really cozy as we go into this week's mini meditation. And so just begin by gently closing the eyes and feeling the weight of the eyelids. Almost imagine them just folding down and wrapping around you, creating warmth, darkness in that beautiful, relaxed, safe environment. And begin to draw in some deeper breath. Noticing how you feel as the breath moves through the whole body. And I want you to imagine you're breathing into all of the limbs. Feeling the breath move. Feeling the breath expand from the center of the body all the way down the legs, the arms, the fingers, the toes. Drawing in that deep breath. Whenever you feel any tension arise in the body, just use the breath. Send the breath to that space. And I want you to imagine you are holding everything in the middle of the body, the heart center, the belly. And you have a choice where to send that breath. where to send that deep feeling of relaxation. Where do you need it today? Where does your breath need to go? Keep breathing. Where do I need that extra support today? Where can I send my breath? Allowing yourself to totally surrender. Allowing yourself to relax and allowing yourself to feel. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I'll see you again next week.